And he throws over to first once again, Nabe Holtz, and really pushing Hugo back towards the bag. 1-1 count here on James Castagnola. UC Irvine product. Two down, the 1-1. Swing and a miss on the outside once again, 1-2. So Nabe Holtz ahead in the count. Looking for his fourth strikeout of today. He's at 6 2/3 innings gone with 81 pitches. So allowed 5 hits and 3 runs. But looking for his fourth strikeout. 1-2 count. Nabe Holtz sets and serves. Upstairs, a little bit out of the zone for a 2-2 count. So deuces once again across the board. 2 balls, 2 strikes, and 2 outs. The 2-2, and once again, Nabe Holtz checks over at first. Puts Hugo back towards the bag. Top 7. Rafters lead 3-1. Hugo stands at first. Nate Nabe Holtz, the Towson product, sets and serves the 2-2. Castagnola pops one up on the backside and staying alive here at 2-2.
Staying alive. Nabe Holtz went 7 full in his last start.
So 2 down. Nabe Holtz, who's already appeared against the Rafters this season. This is his second appearance as the checkoff over at first and putting Hugo back towards the bag.
Logan Hugo at first base.
He's really looking for that pickoff attempt, but a 2 outs and 2-2 count.
Before the 7 full outing against
coming
the
set. Last Tuesday, he had and serving the 2-2 just below the zone and out on the right corner for a ball. So full count with 2 down. Rafters on the verge of getting 2 runners on.
Payoff pitch.
Count runs full at 3-2. Nabe Holtz will come set. Kick and serve the 3-2. Swing and a miss upstairs for strike number 3 and out number 3. But the Rafters still lead 3-1 as we head to the bottom of the 7th here on WFHR.
It's described as fresh, a little fancy, cozy, affordable, comfortable. And veterans, teachers, construction workers, cashiers, receptionists, and you will enjoy the daily specials and deals at El Cafe. It's now open in Port Edwards. The owner of El Cafe can't wait to share his dream journey of an all-new restaurant with you. El Cafe, serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Enjoy El Cafe, now open at 221 Market Avenue in Port Edwards, next to the police station.
Better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Who makes insurance simple? That's easy. Delta Dental of Wisconsin. So if you ask, what company encourages you to use your benefits for regular preventive care? Or who provides quick service online or by phone? Which insurance offers access to the largest provider networks? Or who helps you save money when you need more than a checkup? The answer's the same. Definitely Delta Dental. For dental and vision insurance made simple, choose Delta Dental of Wisconsin and Delta Vision today.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Bottom of the 7th we go. Rafters lead 3-1. Joey Fear with you here on WFHR as Colby Wallace steps in and he sees a strike going one. So Vitoc still on the mound for the Rafters. He's at a strikeout. 21 pitches, not allowing a hit or a run. So Colby Wallace, as he fouls one off on the backside, he's 1-for-2 today. Got a double, and he grounded out to short. So he's down in the count 0-2. Rafters lead is 3-1. Brendan Bobo, 3-run shot in the top of the 6th has been the difference. The 0-2 from Vitoc upstairs, and the check swing didn't fully come across from Wallace. So the Cal State Fullerton product One and two count from Rancho Santa Margarita, California. The 1-2, swing and a miss on the outside for strike number three. Malachi Vitok throwing his second strikeout. Much needed. One down here, bottom seven. Rafters bullpen has really come up big. Seven total strikeouts for them. And this brings up Drew Stengren, who struck out swinging on both of his appearances at the plate. Vitok sets in the check swing. Did he come across? And did. For a strike, 0-1. So Rafters lead 3-1. They've out-hit Wausau 5-1, each team with an error. The 0-1, and a swing and a shallow ground ball that goes over to Taylor at third. The throw across the diamond is on time for the second out. So two down here, bottom seven for the Rafters. So we bring up Jake Baker, who was hit by pitch and struck out swinging. So Baker, the only woodchuck to get home today. Two down. Rafters lead 3-1. As Vitok fires in the first pitch, but comes down low for a ball, 1-0. A 1-0 count with two down. The 1-0 comes upstairs and just a little bit left edge of the zone for a ball, 2-0. Two balls, no strikes, two outs.
Allowed against Malachi Vitok.
Vitok fires in the 2-0 way down low. That goes in the dirt for ball number three. So three straight balls, and Jake Baker on the verge of getting on base once again today. Only woodchuck to cross home plate. Vitok fires in the 3-0 and finds the zone for a strike, 3-1. 3 balls a strike, 2 down, bottom 7. The 3-1. Inside and check swing. Did he come across? And third base umpire says he did not. So that's going to be ball number 4. Baker will take first. And now this brings up Simon Cherry with a tying run up at the plate. Cherry, who got on base off of an error from Castagnola, lined out on his last at bat. So he's 0-2 today, and the trustworthy shortstop has an opportunity to put himself on as Vitok throws in for a strike, 0-1. No balls, a strike. Jake Baker at first. Sherry up at the plate. He's down the count, 0-1. Vitok fires in the 0-1 on a curveball and paints the left edge inside of the zone, 0-2. So Vitok, two straight strikes, and he gets ahead in the count early and looking for the third strike and the third out. And also looking for his third strikeout. So this would be big as the 0-2 swing and a miss on the outside for strike number three, strikeout number three, and the Rafters get their third out as we head to the top of the eighth inning. They lead 3-1. We'll step aside here on WFHR.
Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Right arm, right leg.
Left leg, left arm.
Both legs above the knee.
Both legs, part of my left hand.
Lost both my legs in Iraq.
These 9/11 veterans are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes with features like wheelchair access, roll-in showers, and pull-down cabinets that allow them to function independently and focus on their recovery and family. This life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans, thanks to our donors and supporters. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. please visit hfotusa.org and help build homes and rebuild lives.
Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. Help Smile Train change the world one smile at a time. Learn more at smiletrain.org/learn.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
The top of the eighth we go. Joey Fear with you here on this beautiful Tuesday night in Wausau. Rafters lead 3-1. They gave up a run in the bottom of the third off of a passed ball from Howitt that allowed Baker to get home. But a three-run shot from Brendan Bobo and flashes of what he did last year being put on display right now. So Rafters lead 3-1 and a pitching change in store for the Woodchucks. Tim Ruffino will be taking the duties on the mound. Five games he's already had played in this year. He's at six innings pitched, five hits and two runs. He's acquired three strikeouts. So the Coppin State product from Bogalusa, Louisiana, and the rising redshirt senior. So the left-hander, 5'10", 200-pound left-hander, will step on the mound right now, having some warm-up pitchers, and this brings up the bottom of the order. Levi Jensen is due up. So Jensen today is 1-for-2, was able to get home off of a three-run shot from Bobo. So Jensen will step in. Top of the eighth inning, seven innings down, two more to go. Can the Rafters hold on here in Wausau? So Ruffino, the left-hander, will set and fire and finds the zone for a strike, 0-1. So Jensen today has, on two at-bats, he's gotten a hit, and he's made good contact on both. He hasn't struck out as he struggled up at the plate. The North Alabama product bunts it and shows a shallow bunt right into the glove of Ruffino, throws it over and right to first on time. No balls, no strikes, and one out. So Tim Ruffino, how about that? That ball bounces right into his left hand and just underhands it over to first. So this brings up the second baseman and now the center fielder, Ty Johnson, is due up. So Johnson today is 1-for-3, was able also to get home off of that Bobo home run as the first pitch comes up and away for Paul, 1-0. So one down, top of the eighth. Tim Ruffino, the left-hander on Johnson, the 1-0, as Johnson swings and flies the ball right into the right fielder of making a grab is Colby Wallace, two down. So back-to-back outs for the Woodchucks. They're looking to have a three-up and three-down inning and retire the side. Two down. Jack Basir is due up, and Basir, six straight games with a hit, and now today he hasn't gotten a hit yet, so perhaps it could end today. So he's not looking to have that end, but the DH, as Ruffino sets in, as Basir swings and a miss down low for a strike, 0-1. No balls, a strike, and two down. Two outs. The 0-1, way outside for a ball, 1-1. One ball, one strike, and two outs.
Ruffino, in his five appearances so far this season, has not faced off against these Wisconsin Rapids.
Ruffino fires in the 1-1 as misses down low for a strike, 1-2. So Tim Ruffino has appeared against Madison, Lakeshore, Fond du Lac, Green Bay, and Rockford, has not seen action against the Rafters, as Ruffino will look in, fire in the 1-2 way outside, as Stengren, the catcher, had to kind of reach out and make the adjustment. Wouldn't have mattered if it was a wild pitch anyways. Nobody's on for the Rafters. A 2-2 count with two down. The 2-2 from Ruffino, swinging a grounder over to the second baseman, who has trouble fielding it. Basir will take first. Holt slid over and had trouble feeling it was a wild pitch. Basir will stand at first. So Jack Basir, 7 straight hits, and his hit streak does not come to an end. Basir will take first, and now Brendan Bobo is due up. 3-run home run last time, and Bobo, the team MVP last season. Ruffino will set in. 2 outs as finds a left edge and throws a curveball at 75. 0-1. Bobo the hero tonight as far as on the offensive side.
2 games rather.
2 down.
And one of them came against these Raptors.
The 0-1 from Ruffino. Fires in as Bobo swings and misses on the outside for a strike. 0-2. Top 8. Raptors lead 3-1. Basir at first. 7 straight hits for Jack Basir in 7 straight games.
10 of the 12 wins for Los Angeles.
2 down. Ruffino. The 0-2. Basir swinging a miss outside for Bobo. For strike number 3 and out number 3 as we head to the bottom of the 8th. Raptors lead 3-1. We'll be back in a moment here on WFHR.
It's described as fresh, a little fancy, cozy, affordable, comfortable. And veterans, teachers, construction workers, cashiers, receptionists, and you will enjoy the daily specials and deals at El Cafe. It's now open in Port Edwards. The owner of El Cafe can't wait to share his dream journey of an all-new restaurant with you. El Cafe, serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Enjoy El Cafe, now open at 221 Market Avenue in Port Edwards, next to the police station.
They spend their work life helping others. Police officers, firefighters, active and retired military service members, first responders, healthcare workers, and teachers. Chris Inda, realtor with Next Home Partners, helps finding their home life a little easier.
Hi, I'm Chris Inda. As a veteran myself, I know how important it is to have a place you can rest, recuperate, and call home.
Ask about the Homes for Heroes program today at 715-741-1851 or search for Chris Inda Realty on Facebook.
If you have sustained an injury or have joint pain, you may need Wisconsin River Orthopedics. After a thorough examination, you may be prescribed therapy. Wisconsin River Orthopedics features their own in-house therapy center, staffed by experienced occupational and physical therapy professionals. If you need surgery for your ailment from one of their 4 surgeons, you may need therapy afterwards. Call 715-424-1881 or go to wroinstitute.com. 715-424-1881. Relieving pain and restoring lives.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
To the bottom of the 8th we go as DH Mike McGinnis is due up. So Vitek still on the mound for the Rafters. He's at 3 strikeouts. So this is interesting for Kirk Schreider, changing in the pitching lineup because he went 4 innings with Howitt and 3 with Vitek as Vitek sets in and throws outside for a ball. McGinnis 0 for 2 today, who struck out and grounded out to shortstop in Castagnola. Vitek, the 1-0, swinging a towering fly ball into the first baseman of Gervich, who reaches out and makes an easy grab for 1 down. This is interesting. Vitek is 3 innings pitched. There's each guy combined. There's 7 1/3 innings pitched. What we've seen from Kirk Schreider is where he's gone 3 innings for the first guy, 3 innings for the second. He's gone 1-1-1. He's changed that today. Vitek in here in the 8th inning. Now the question is, will Vitek pitch the 9th? My guess is he won't. But who knows right now as Vitek sets in as the 0-1, swings and Pearson flies a ball into the left field side and reaching out, and that ball is gone. Well hit for Dalton Pearson. He slams in a home run and a solo shot. Now it's 3-2. As for a sec, that ball didn't look like that was going out. Back-to-back home runs for Dalton Pearson and back-to-back nights. Wow, now it's 3-2. Vitek just was doing well. And now Pearson hits a solo shot. Now the tying run is up at the plate. So Pearson getting in his 17th RBI of the season. Absolutely slams in a home run. 3-2 game now. As Brennan Holt is due up 0-for-2 today. As Holt swings and flies a ball into the left center side, and reaching out and making the grab is Ty Johnson for two down. So Holt flies out to Johnson for back-to-back times, but a 3-2 game as Pearson goes yard on the left side. So Brent Witter is due up, grounded out on his last at bat.
It is now seven straight games.
So Brent Witter is due up.
For Dalton Pearson.
0-for-3 today. And Pearson just absolutely hits a home run, and now it's 3-2. As pitch comes in from Vitoc, throws in a curveball. Backing away was Witter, 1-0 count with two down. So Vitoc gives up his first run and his first hit as well as the 1-0. Down low for a ball, 2-0. So tying run up at the plate. Rafters lead 3-2. The 2-0. Swinging a grounder that pops away on the third base line. Out of play, 2-1. Low scoring affair. Eight combined hits, five combined runs. Yesterday there was 19 combined hits and 16 runs, so definitely changed on the defensive side for sure, as the pitching has been excellent for both teams. As the 2-1 comes in, swinging a ball, hit into left field, and coming after it and making the grab is Bobo for the third out. The Rafters give up a run, a solo shot from Dalton Pearson, but they still lead 3-2 as we head to the top of the ninth inning here on WFHR.
You have been listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app. Rafters Baseball is brought to you by Sharon Zeman, Sky Manning, Clay Kanoki, and Joe Arnold, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisors. Learn how they can help you reach your financial goals. Visit EdwardJones.com. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. Go to loveshriners.org.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James Help Seth Pick the Next Theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Only four batters and allowing one hit to Jack Vassier.
Top of the ninth we go. Rafters lead 3-2. Jack Gervich is due up. So a solo shot came at the hands of Dalton Pearson to cut this lead to one run, as Rufino sets in and throws a strike, 1-1. So Gervich today, 1-for-3, and he struck out as well. And he also was lined down as well. So a 1-1 for Tim Rufino. The 1-1, Gervich dings a ball out on the left side. Fouled off, 1-2. So Rafters gave up a run on the bottom of the third, a pass ball, which allowed Baker to get home. Then a three-run shot from Brendan Bobo in the top of the six. And then a solo home run from Dalton Pearson, the center fielder, which allowed this game to be 3-2. Top of the ninth, 1-2 count for Tim Ruffino on Gervich. The 1-2, swinging a shallow ground ball over to Sherry. Fields it up in the glove, the throw across his body on time. He's right there, so one down as Gervich grounds out, and this brings up Shane Taylor, who's 0-for-3 today. Grounded out twice and flew out to center. So Taylor out of Utah Tech. And Taylor looking to get his first hit. Raptors have out-hit the Woodchucks 6-2, each team with an error. As Ruffino will come set and serve and paints the left edge on the zone, 0-1.
Tomorrow, a doubleheader day in the
North. No, balls and a strike with one out.
And Madison Mallard for a first pitch at 12:05 for game one of two tomorrow.
The 0-1 from Ruffino. Swing and Taylor pulls a ball into left field, heading back towards the wall. This is hit pretty well. Off the top of the wall, Taylor's going to hit second. And Taylor gets to second. And almost gone, a solo shot there from Shane Taylor. And a double there for the Raptors. Much needed. So Taylor off the wall into left center. That was inches away from going back. So Taylor gets his first hit of the day. Much needed. He stands at second. Raptors have a chance to double their lead with a runner in scoring position. Logan Hugo is due up. Got a base hit on his last at bat. He's 1-for-3. Taylor stands at second. Tim Ruffino will come second and serve. Hugo pops away out on the right side. No balls, a strike with one down.
Those games at the exact same time. 12:05 first pitch for game one, and then 6:30.
0-1 count.
First pitch for game two. Out of
Ruffino looks at second. Serves in the 0-1. Hugo pops it out on the back side. 0-2.
After welcoming in the Madison Mallards, tomorrow we'll go on a six-game road trip. They'll start Lakeshore, then make their way.
No balls, two strikes, one down.
Kokomo and Battle Creek before returning home. Next Thursday.
Hugo down in the count 0-2. Ruffino will look in. Rifle in the 0-2. Hugo once away. Pops again. And the count stays at 0-2. Pops it out on the foul side, on the right side. One down, 0-2. The one down, the 0-2 from Ruffino. Hugo swings and drives one. That jumps on a one-hop bounce before Pearson. Taylor gets a third. Hugo gets the first. And much needed there once again for Logan Hugo. Back-to-back hits. And the Raptors threatening here in the top of the ninth. Chris Conniff is due up. So at first stands Hugo. Taylor advances to third. And this would be much needed if the Raptors can get a run or two to give themselves some cushion before heading into the bottom of the ninth. One down, Ruffino on Chris Conniff, the left-hander. First pitch comes in and clips the left edge, finding the zone, 0-1. 0-1 count, Taylor stands at third. Logan Hugo, the Eastern Michigan product, at first. Ruffino looks at first, fires in the 0-1, comes down low on a slider at 75 miles per hour. 1-1 count.
Number 6, 7, and 8
to
the Raptors in this outing now.
Raptors have it in them. With one down, can they get another run? That would be huge. As the 1-1 from Ruffino up and away, but finds a left edge of the zone for a strike. 1-2. One ball, two strikes, one out.
Another fly would come at a good time for Conniff.
Chris Conniff, 0-for-3 today, the 1-2. Swing and a miss on the outside for strike number 3 and 2 down. here in the top of the ninth. So Conniff goes 0 for 4, and this brings up James Castagnola. Well, excuse me, Castagnola will be going out. Garrett Broussard will step in. So Broussard, a pinch hitter for Castagnola. Last night, Broussard went 0 for 4, but he had a run. He crossed the home plate, and so he's hit by pitch as well last night. So Broussard will be the pitch hitter for Castagnola. So Castagnola's day looks to be done. He went 0 for 3, so the returning Raptor, Garrett Broussard, out of Utah Valley, is called upon here in the top of the ninth. Hugo at first, Taylor at third.
Up to bat.
First pitch comes in from Rufino. Trying to steal second in time was Hugo. Did he get there? And did. Logan Hugo. A successful stolen base attempt. Two runners in scoring position now. Hugo at second. And Taylor at third.
Second and third for the Raptors.
We've seen the Raptors do that at times with runners on first and third. I'm surprised Taylor didn't go home. So 1-0 count. Garrett Broussard lines a ball into third into Witter. Fields it up in the glove. The throw to first is on time. So unfortunately the Raptors don't get any runs, but they still lead 3-2. Do they have three more outs in them? Find out next as we head to the bottom of the ninth here on WFA.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
To the bottom of the ninth we go, and a pitching change in for the Raptors, a guy that's been called upon in these situations before, Julian Tristan. He's at a 1-1 record. He's had three saves, so the Westcliff University product from Irvine, California, sets in and serves on Drew Berkland and throws a strike, 0-1. So Tristan looking for his fourth save of the season. Raptors lead 3-2 as once again finds a zone ahead in the count, 0-2. He's at 8 Ks on the season with 38 batters faced, allowing 4 hits and 3 runs. The 0-2 from Tristan way outside, and that hits the back of Berkland. So Berkland will take first. So the tying run on first. So that's going to hurt Julian Tristan ahead in the count, 0-2, and then just throws a wild pitch that goes in the back of Berkland. So Berkland at first, and well, since Castagnola was the pinch hitter, well, excuse me, Broussard was the pinch hitter for Castagnola. As swinging a ball lined into right field. Rounding second is Berkland. He's heading for third. Hugo throws it over, and that one is not in time. So that hurts the Raptors. And Wallace gets on first. And at third is Berkland. So tying run at third, leading run at first. Here in the bottom of the ninth. So Julian Tristan is going to have to be set and have one of the most incredible saves of his early career here in Wisconsin Rapids. Drew Stengren is due up. Tristan will come set, serve down low for a ball, 1-0. One ball, no strikes. Nobody out. And the tying run 90 feet away. The 1-0. Swing and a miss upstairs for a strike one on chest high fastball at 90 miles per hour. So Colby Wallace stands at first. The 1-1. Swing and a miss once again. 1-2 on the upstairs edge. So Tristan looking to find a way to get at least one down. Tristan, the 1-2 inside, backing away. And Drew Stengren thought he was hit there, but wasn't. So a 2-2 count. So Broussard is taking the place of Castagnola at short. The 2-2 down low and away for ball number three. 3-2 count.
No outs to Drew Stengren. Two hits.
The Rafters can't afford this. They can't afford the bases juice with nobody down. As the 3-2 comes in, swinging a popped up ball backside. Three, 2 count.
Two RBIs for Drew Stengren.
Full count. Tristan serves in. Swing and a miss downstairs for strike number three, but Wallace steals second. So two runners in scoring position, but one down. As this brings up Jake Baker. Baker, who was hit by a pitch today, was walked, and he also has a run. He also struck out as well. So one down. The infield is shifted in for the Rafters. Broussard and Conniff. As first pitch comes in, swinging a ball, pulled into right field. That looked fair for just about a moment, but fortunate for the Rafters, that went out on right field. So 0-1 count. The entire infield shifted in. So Taylor at third and Gervich at first, but they're going to have a word with Tristan and pat him on the back saying, hey, look, this is what's going to go on, because the tying run 90 feet away, the leading run at second. So Jake Baker, the Kansas product, no balls a strike with one down. Julian Tristan looking for his fourth save as the 0-1 comes in and clips the right edge of the zone, but just away for a ball, 1-1. So Baker's made some good contact on the ball tonight, has not recorded a hit. 1-2 Rafters to cross home plate, the 1-1, and outside edge and just a bit away for a ball, 2-1, one down. Entire infield shifted in. So Gervich stands at first, but Conniff, Broussard, and Taylor all in the green grass of the infield. The 2-1 comes in and finds right down Main Street for a strike, 2-2. At second is Wallace. At third is Berkland. One down here, bottom of the ninth, 2-2 for Julian Tristan. He'll set, wind, and serve. The 2-2 paints the left edge of the zone for strike number three. Baker can't believe it. Two down and one away for the Rafters. And this brings up Simon Sherry, who's 0-for-3 today and struck out. What a save this would be. Surely the best save for Julian Tristan. They had runners on first and third with nobody out. Two straight outs. First pitch comes in from Tristan on the inside for a ball, 1-0. Can the Rafters find a way to get one more out here, bottom of the ninth?
Two outs here.
Two runners in scoring position. Tristan down on the count, 1-0. He sets and serves the 1-0, and just a bit low for a ball, 2-0. So Tristan finding himself down on the count on Simon Cherry.
2-0.
Tristan kicks, winds, and fires the 2-0. Swing and a ground ball. That goes to Taylor at third. The throw over to first. Does he get it in time? And does! That will do it. The Rafters, oh my gosh, what a win from Shane Taylor. Reaches out, makes the grab, throws it on a one-hop bounce to Gurwitch, and the Rafters pull out a stunning victory, 3-2 here in Wausau. Unbelievable from Jane Taylor, one of the most dynamic infielders, and the Raptors find a way to squeeze out a victory, 3-2, and even the series here in Wausau. Shane Taylor, would you look at that? The Utah Tech product from Las Vegas, Nevada, comes up huge. But how about Julian Tristan getting a strikeout and a much-needed strikeout? And the Raptors find a way to get the victory. Two strikeouts for Julian Tristan. Shane Taylor reaches out to third, throws it across the diamond, and gets the out. Raptors find a way to take on and beat the Woodchucks 3-2. They out-hit them 8-3 on a night. It was a close battle, a back-and-forth win, but Shane Taylor found a way. But how about Brendan Bobo? A three-run shot in the top of the sixth inning. Flashes of what he did last year being put on display this year. But the Raptors will have a doubleheader the first time tomorrow. They head to Green Bay. First pitch slotted at 12:05. Second game slotted in at 6:35. But for the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors, for players, coaches, and staff, for everybody at WFHR, my name is Joey Fear saying so long from Wausau. Raptors 3-2 victory. Good night, everybody.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss.
He were a guardsman, he would have been in prison for the past 2 years as the investigation proceeded, not you know, living a millionaire's life down at his private estate in Florida.
Well, as the email I just got said, reality winner got 4 years for one document.
Yeah, that is a perfect example. And the odd thing here is that some of the people who were responsible in that reality winner case, in particular Glenn Greenwald, who's become one of these like Trump who I do not support types of people, he has been just on a warpath about how this prosecution and investigation of Trump is inappropriate. And Glenn Greenwald's publication was actually responsible for, because of its own sort of lax operational security, they actually outed Reality Winner as the source of that classified document that they published when The Intercept published that. He has been on a warpath against this prosecution that Donald Trump faces. But you know, Reality Winner went to jail for literally hundreds of times lesser of a crime. So the idea that Trump is somehow being, you know, singled out or treated unfairly, it just doesn't stand up to basic muster. Of course, that's plenty for right-wing media, but I think for most people, they don't think that this has been a prosecution that's been inappropriate. And you can actually see that in polling.
No, you do. You listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Craig Harrington. Craig is the research director over at Media Matters, mediamatters.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. How you can take a look at the work that they do. Now, Mary sent me an email here during the break because you had said that, you know, on the Espionage Act, that they're not claiming that he's a spy. She simply asks, how do we know?
Yeah, that's an interesting argument because, you know, people have said the indictment doesn't accuse him of committing acts of espionage, like the traditional James Bond types of spying, that the indictment doesn't accuse him of directly handing documents to foreign nationals or to hostile foreign agents or collaborating with a foreign government. But we actually don't know that. We just don't know. The case, the trial hasn't begun. So it's entirely possible that if we went to trial, we'd learn more through the discovery phase or through the open trial process. The indictment doesn't accuse him of being a spy or of handing over government classified secrets in exchange for cash. They don't accuse him of being engaged in a bribery scheme or anything of that nature that you might traditionally consider to be espionage. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. We just literally don't know. Yeah. And we won't know until there's a trial or there's some sort of plea agreement that comes out of this pretrial process. We literally just don't know.
Yeah, I said from the beginning, I don't think that that's part of it. I think this was purely about a child wanting a shiny thing to be able to show his friends. But again, that's my view of who he is. He likes to play the big shot. Look, I got classified documents laying all over my bathroom. Look how important I am. That's always been my view of him.
And that certainly seems to be backed up by some of the conversations from Trump himself that we see in the documents. He's a very braggadocious person, and you can read in some of the quotations that they have of him. This is live audio that they have that was uncovered by the investigators. He's kind of just bragging. He's waving things around. He's showing them off. And this, again, just goes to the idea that he's facing some kind of political persecution for committing these sort of haphazard mistakes and these like simple miserly crimes. It's somewhat absurd to think that there's a political motivation to the DOJ going after him. Like, he was just flaunting regulations. He was just openly violating the law for whatever reasons.
If you remember at the beginning of his presidency, there were stories about classified documents being, you know, just left around in a ballroom in Mar-a-Lago with, I think it was the Japanese who were, or it was either the Japanese or Chinese dignitaries they had come in. But there was reports that they had classified material just kind of laying around where you go, why would you do that other than it's just, hey, look how important I am.
Yeah, this was actually one of the very first sort of Trump White House scandals. I'm not sure exactly of the timing, but it was Donald Trump and then Japanese Prime Minister, who's since been assassinated, Shinzo Abe. And they were having an open conversation. I believe this conversation was with regard to missile strikes, cruise missile strikes against Syrian air bases. And they were just having an open conversation at the dinner table in Mar-a-Lago, surrounded by hundreds of guests. There are photographs that are still on Twitter of documents and sensitive materials just strewn about in an open conversation that Trump was having with another world leader in full view and within earshot of the public. And those sorts of stories came out of Mar-a-Lago over and over and over again. And none of those, nothing from those 4 years are included in this investigation. It's entirely based upon what he did after he stopped being president, when what he did was effectively stealing documents that did not belong to him, mishandling them and misappropriating them and misusing them, storing them in an unsecure facility, and then obstructing the investigation into recovering them and lying to investigators and refusing to give them back. He also roped multiple people into this criminal conspiracy, including multiple lawyers who signed legal documents lying to the government. And essentially, he forced them to commit crimes on his own behalf by lying to his legal team. And all of those lawyers have since resigned. You know, this isn't a political persecution. This is a person who was extremely careless and haphazard and almost intentionally so. And the government just pleaded with him for over a year to play ball and return the documents the way everyone else had. Yeah. And what he refused, and he just simply refused to do it until their hands were tied. And this is also, you know, this is not the only litigation. This is not the only criminal or civil litigation that Trump faces. His legal exposure after leaving the presidency, it's truly remarkable the amount of protection the presidency provided him. He has other criminal investigations in New York City, in New York State, in Fulton County, Georgia, and there's another federal investigation into his involvement in the January 6th insurrection. All of those cases are completely independent of one another, and they're all proceeding right now because for the 4 years that he was in the office of the presidency, he was shielded from investigation and from prosecution, and now he's not the president. So all of these cases were able to continue, and that doesn't even continue the civil litigation that he lost for the defamation and sexual abuse against E. Jean Carroll. And she's actually bringing that case again because the day after he lost that case, he continued to publicly defame her on what was it, the May 10th CNN town hall that he did that was hosted by Caitlin Collins. All of this legal trouble is happening all at the same time, and he entirely brought it on himself. And, you know, there's no one else to blame. Yeah. Right-wing media are sort of cobbling together to try to find excuses and deflect and talk about Hunter Biden and Bill Clinton's sock drawer. But just nothing stands up to muster. Like, this is just the simplest scrutiny will tell you that Trump brought all of this on himself. And the reason it's all snowballing right now before the election is because it takes a long time to build these cases. If he weren't running for president, all these cases would still exist.
Right.
And they would still be proceeding on the same timelines.
So what do you say to the person who goes, you know, this is just all a hit job. They're just going after him because they don't want him to run for president. Because there is that thought out there that all of this is just, they're just targeting poor Donald because they can't beat him again at the ballot box. You've heard that frame. you know, what's the response to that when someone who's that closed-minded? Because I listen to all this stuff and I go, why would we want someone so irresponsible in the White House? And then when does the Republican Party shed themselves of him and be done with him because of all the chaos?
Yeah, well, those are a couple of different questions. And so the first one, the argument that this all of this is happening because he's running for president again. Well, so that's a counterfactual that we can't prove, right? He is running for president again, and there's no way to get around the fact we can't run, you know, a real world experiment again. And so while the Jesse Waterses of Fox News and the even the sort of very serious types at the National Review or some other conservative publications, they might be arguing that Trump is only facing the weight of these investigations because he's going to run for president again. And if he won, he'd potentially be shielded from investigation and from prosecution again. The idea that this is all being done because he's running for president is somewhat undermined by the fact that these investigations have been going on for a very long time, and he hasn't been actively running for president that entire time. He was informally a candidate. Everyone knew he was going to run again. He kept saying that he was going to run again, but he hadn't filed any of his paperwork until the paperwork was formally filed. And these investigations almost all predate his filing of his formal paperwork. So you'd have to say that the DOJ like had a crystal ball or was making an educated guess. But that'd be a waste of their time. There's no reason for them to do that.
Going to be fun and entertaining over the next year plus to find out how this works itself out. And maybe we come to a collective moment of let's move on. Maybe, I don't know, but it is entertaining. Craig, I appreciate the time and the insight. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Our good friend Craig Harrington. Make sure you check out the work that he does over at Media Matters, mediamatters.org, the website. Going to take a quick break. Right back with your thoughts. Stick around and listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1943. That was the day that would go down in the history books as the 1943 Detroit race riot. The violence started on Belle Isle, a large island park in the Detroit River. Both white and black Detroiters were visiting the park on that hot, sunny summer Sunday afternoon. The fighting broke out among a number of the white and black youth. Such interracial fighting over the use of parks and recreation space happened frequently throughout the urban North during the 1940s. Soon, false rumors spread about white and black attacks on women and children. Fueled by these rumors, anger grew among members of both communities. The fighting spread across the bridge into the city. The next day, federal troops were called in to restore the peace. Over 3 days of fighting, 34 people were killed. 25 were black, including 17 killed by police and federal troops. 9 were white. The next month, the NAACP produced a report called What Caused the Detroit Riot? An Analysis. They found that one of the biggest reasons for the sharp racial animosity was the influx of new black workers into the Detroit labor force. During World War II, Detroit's mighty car industry converted its factories to wartime production. As factory workers went off to fight, demand for labor soared. Southern labor, both black and white, were recruited to come north. Many white Detroiters did not want to work with the new African-American hires. From March to May of that year, there were 5 separate work stoppages by white laborers over black hiring or promotion. At the Packard Motor Company, nearly 27,000 workers walked off the job over the upgrade of black workers.
Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So again, Pennsylvania House passed the minimum wage increase, 103-100. The Pennsylvania House is broken down with 102 Democrats, 101 Republicans. That means a couple of Republicans went over and voted for it. How amazing! Only I think three. I think three voted for it, and I think one Democrat voted against it. Which you go, yeah, how do you do that? But again, they're going to raise the minimum wage over the next couple of years from the current state law of 715, federal law 725, up to $15 an hour by 2026. I'm going to do that in steps. The tip minimum wage is going to go up to 60% of the minimum wage, which currently is $2.83 an hour. That's the minimum wage in this state for tipped workers. Now, what's interesting is Republicans were, well, we can't possibly vote for this. And this woman, Katie Klunk, she's a York County, Pennsylvania Republican. She says, I cannot support a bill that would put a local family restaurant out of business and along with it, the many employees who make a living at their three locations. And I'm going, hold on a second. I don't know about you, but $2.83 an hour, I don't know. I don't know what you buy with that. You can't even buy a Happy Meal with that. 7.25, the minimum after the tips. You can't make a living on that either. I'm confused at where your values are in this. Now, understand what they're saying. That there, it's more important for these handful of business owners to be able to make profit than it is for working people to put food on their kids' table. That's what they're saying. They're saying that we've chosen sides in this. Not that, hey, you know, we want to make sure that everyone's able to survive and make ends meet. No. It's all about, we got to have these small business owners who, you know, give me a break. $15 an hour over. Now, remember, this is with tips and all of that. If you're not making that, there's a problem. Minimum wage right now, $290 a week. Who can survive on that? You're talking $15,000 a year. Who can survive on that? Now, according to the Employment Policy Institute, because as soon as Pennsylvania passed this, immediately they sent out their numbers, said it's going to cost Pennsylvania almost 86,000 jobs by 2026. Half of them are going to be at bars and restaurants. They're going to lose that. It's going to cost almost 32,000 tipped workers their jobs. One out of four workers are going to lose their job in the restaurant industry. And you go, hold on a second. So what you're saying is, there are that many people who make below the minimum wage, make below that kind of wage to be able to start, that they're going to lose those jobs because they're not making that kind of income. Is that the kind of economy we want? Is that a positive thing? I'm telling you, at some point we've got to demand better. Let's go to the phones. You got Barry on line one. Barry, how are you?
Yeah, good. Good, Rick. Just to have a job ain't enough, because slaves had jobs. So that's not just to have a job ain't enough. And the second point, Rick, was I saw a poll approval rating. I thought Trump was 33 and Joe Biden was 31. I can't explain that. The third point was union members voted for Hillary, 51%, and for Joe and 20, 56%. So that's disgusting to me as a union member myself.
I agree.
So that's all I got, Rick.
I appreciate it, Barry. No, that's good stuff. No, I mean, to go through it, you know, simply, you know, the fact that union members look to Republicans as you know, a possible island is amazing to me. And it tells you how well unions have done for their members to make them think that they can be Republicans, to make them think that, you know, that they have their interest at heart, when the fact of the matter is Republicans have done everything they can possibly to destroy unions and destroy the ability for working people to make a living. It's just crazy. And Barry, I
kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. good healthy food, and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show.